I took it off just so that I could like pass it around, and I know this doesn't do much for anyone listening, but I definitely did not wrap this like I said earlier, but this was wrapped by the dude that taught the dude that taught me, basically, and got me into the whole wire wrapping thing. And I'll just kind of start this off by I'll just talk about kind of, if I may, just like about how I got into like rocks and minerals, I guess.
Yeah, hey dude, hit us.
sweet. cool. So like that was the first subject that like I really wanted to focus on when I moved to Ellensburg to study at Central Washington University, because they have a very renowned, like highly renowned geology program. And just months prior to that, I, you know, went over there really not knowing what I wanted to major in. I just knew what I found interesting. And so I had just, you know, a few months before just got out of the Navy and was learning how to actually like look for rocks. Like I went fishing with my cousin, and like he wanted to like take me out fishing when I got out, because he was actually in the Navy as well. And so, and I suck at fishing, and so I would always end up just watching him and smoking weed.
Fishing's hard, dude.
And fishing is hard. Yeah, it sucks. I'd rather buy it, you know.
And fishing isn't hard. You just need patience.
You need patience
and five blunts. Like,
yeah, maybe I'd, yeah.
And to smoke those five blunts way the fuck away from the water, because I didn't know this, but fish don't like smoke.
Whoa. Oh, interesting.
Okay. Just blow it up.
Right? So I would always end up just watching him and like just smoking weed, and he doesn't smoke, and you know, so like, cool, I'm outside and it's nice out, you know, whatever. And he was like, why don't you like look for agates and stuff? And I was just like, what are you talking about, you know? And he showed me how to find, you know, like these very, well, here in Western Washington, the agates are very like carnelian orange, because of the iron concentrations in the water. They're higher here than other areas, and so that actually makes our agates like pretty famous on this side of the country, because they have like this blood orange glow to them that is actually like very unique to this area. Wow. for region. Thank you. Yeah. Nice. 1 second.
Yeah. No. So we're smoking this forbidden fruit joint we just lit up. How did you like the taste?
Oh, the taste is great, dude.
Oh, wow.
Mouthful of oranges, a little bit of pine on that exhale. Very tasty, you know, forbidden fruit all the way, like through and through. Like if I blind taste tested that, it would be forbidden fruit or chalk cookies, right? Like that instantly would be what I identified that as. But very tasty. This one's also from the PJ, the plaid jacket.
Oh, the plaid jacket, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but yeah, we were talking about agates.
So, blood orange. So. I basically, he taught me how to find those, and it was just really interesting.
So describe that, like what, how do you go and you find this? Like he's like, here's this rock, and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, what is
it? I'm going to go find this right. Rock now.
Yeah, so he basically like taught me how the sun illuminates them differently than other rocks because of how translucent they are. They're not like if you hold them up to any light source, the light just goes right through them, and they're just like, and they're just gorgeous. And okay. So you can spot them easier, like when they're wet, but it's still like possible.
This is something you do around like a river.
Yeah, anything where it's like cobbly and stuff like that. It's
running water better.
It doesn't really, the only thing that's like really important, I guess, would be like the size of like the cobbles, just because. You know, you don't want to find anything that's really, you know, huge, I guess. And I don't know. Basically, I'm trying to find a picture, and that's why I'm kind of like losing my train of thought. But
so agates are pretty common here, though, right?
Agates are really common.
Okay.
Almost, yeah. They're people don't really think twice about them over here just because of how common they are. But because they're only found like, the ones that we have like are a special kind of orange, and so they are like prized in other places, for sure. So
yeah, we're like, fuck that rock, and they're like, oh
yeah.
And when I was little, I'd pick up rocks and shit, and my family would be like, oh, go look at these agates, and I was like, what the hell's an agate? And
yeah,
they just
for sure.
That was one of the things they taught. They're like, just pick it up, and if you can see the sun through it, That's an agate. And I was like, oh, that's pretty broad, but if that's just a kind of a fun fact
that I just find this shit really interesting. And so, but agates are formed in nodules, like hollow nodules inside bedrock. And so if you can imagine like bedrock being, you know, lava that has, you know, solidified and dried, well, it has air pockets in it. And the air pockets are big enough to where water can still seep through, and water will fill those cavities and pockets, and that water will carry minerals through it. And so what happens is you, when the water is transporting those minerals, so we have our carnelian orange agates here, for instance, we have higher concentration of iron in the water. And so what happens is when the water is traveling in one direction, because that's what water does, it goes downhill. Mm-hmm. And so it's traveling through that nodule and it's painting the inside of that hollow spot with whatever the concentration of minerals is at that time.
Yeah.
And so that's why if you find an agate, it'll have like layers. They're like banded lines in it.
But they're not hollow, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You bust it open, it's solid.
The agates themselves is the result of the minerals that have literally painted the inside walls of that nodule to the point where it is closed up. And then you have a solid agate and that nodule is no longer hollow. It is completely filled.
Whoa.
There's examples where you will have...
it's kind of dope.
It's very dope, yeah. Science, bro. You'll have examples of something called anhydro, where you'll have agates that have trapped air bubbles inside them that you can literally see like float to the top when you flip it. It's a rock that has formed inside, and it closed up with enough air where you can actually see a bubble, and it's trapped for all of time. And you can find those examples in amethyst. You can find them, in agates all over the place. It's really rare for an air bubble to be able to get trapped. And it's like, who knows how many thousands of years that took for that to fill happen, that space. And
wow.
Man, it just, yeah, I get really excited talking about rocks and stuff.
So you say they may be formed down in the bedrock, but that's pretty far down, right?
Actually, bedrock is basically... like the first example that you see, right after the dirt is gone, you know. So, in some places, like over where I was in central Washington, you have rivers where the bedrock is actually like directly exposed in the river.
So is that why you find them more towards like rivers and water?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the reason I said that it's important to know where you are at the river is because... the size basically determines like how far downstream you are from the source of wherever that water starts. Because what happens is, water is it's one of the most destructive forces on the planet. It carved the Grand Canyon, you know, yeah. It's super corrosive. I love it. Yeah. It's like you can actually tell how far downstream you are in a river just by looking down and seeing how small the cobbles are. If they're really large and big enough to the point where you can't even pick them up, you're pretty close to the source of that water because those rocks haven't had enough time to tumble and roll and basically, yeah. So kind of works the same. That's the way. Have you ever heard of a rock tumbler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you put the rocks in and you are simulating thousands of years of erosion over a period of a few weeks.
Because it's just constantly, right?
Because it's
like...
constant and you are simulating the erosional force being the sand, the substrate, you know? You're changing the grit. You know, you're simulating thousands of years of erosion.
Do you think you could form an agate in one of those rock tumblers?
So forming an agate, so because of how agates form, like how it's like painted, like kind of coating a wall of a bedroom, uh-huh. like over and over.
You have to have that water.
Yeah. So that's what creates agates. So you wouldn't be able to like anything that you put into a tumbler is like already.
What if you just fill it with water? Take all the sandpaper out, and you just tumble that in the water.
That was so nice. That's not how that fucking works.
I haven't tried that one.
high thoughts, man. I'm just like, totally. How do you like?
So I'll pass this around. This is the pendant that my good friend made for me. I had that commissioned. And so that has a tanzanite, that square blue one in the middle. Mm-hmm. Tanzanite is from one place in the world, from the base of Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. Ooh. Yeah, so that's like the one place. There's an effect to that stone called pleochroism, where you can actually turn it, and depending on the angle that you're looking at it, it will actually shift from blue to purple. Because of the way the light is transferring through it. It's kind of hard to see in that piece because of how well it's wrapped in there.
No, I think you get a little bit on the
side. I should have brought some show and tell stuff, but it doesn't really do justice for the people that are just listening, unfortunately. So
you know what we'll do is we'll get somebody to that knows sign language, and I'll film them. They'll sign all our words. Yeah. It'll be better visual.
Hell yeah. <they're>, for sure. That also has aquamarine in it. That's what that long skinny one in the middle is. That small, there's a small blue one. That's a Peruvian blue opal. And the most special rock on there is that clear one.
Sideways, it turns purple a little bit. That big one.
The most special one on there is that clear one that's jutting out of the side right there. That one is called phenakite. Phenakite it means the deceiver. And the reason it's called that is because it looks exactly like plain Jane quartz. Like, it looks like normal quartz.
Oh, wow.
But it is anything further from regular quartz. That stone actually has the ability to... The reason I wanted it jutted out on the side like that is because there's a phenomenon where if you push this like into a piece of ice, like a solid piece of ice, it will actually melt it on contact, like butter, like putting a hot knife in butter.
I've had an ice cream scooper that did that. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's why those things are so damn expensive. Yeah. Huh? Oh, I'm dead, man. Before I leave, I definitely want to show you this, like, after we're done with this. So dope. Like,
that is dope.
Yeah, it's...
just the way it's made out of?
And you know what's weird is I had this rock. This was while I was in Ellensburg, while I was, deep into the geology program. I had a mineralogy professor that had never heard of phenakite. I looked in my 4-story library for any sort of reference on this mineral to see like what type of structure it has to give it this ability, because no other mineral that I know of melts ice on contact. And there was one book that had maybe one paragraph about it, and all it was talking about was the chemical structure of it. Nothing about explaining why it has the ability to melt ice like butter,
But it doesn't it doesn't degrade it when you do that, right?
Nope, like it doesn't degrade it.
So it doesn't have a trade-off, it just...
Right, no, and comparing it to, strange. Like, other minerals that are at the same room temperature, like, don't melt ice nearly as fast as this one. So I suspect it has something to do with maybe the heat energy transfer capacity or... Like it's frequency, basically. Like, I may have something to do, like, if it has a higher like vibrational frequency than other minerals. But
so they haven't studied the chemical composition of that. There is no study on that.
I was surprised at how little I found or what type or any explanation that I was, because I took it upon myself to try and find some sort of like nutshell, a commonplace description as to like I've looked online. I've tried to find like something as to like why, and I can't. It's just one of those. So
that's so weird.
So yeah, if anyone wants to try and educate me, like I would love to hear a description of.
Hopefully, we get like famous enough, and somebody like some.
Hopefully, some famous. Yeah, yeah. I would love for. Randall Norman to hit me up or something.
So you say you commissioned that. That's your vision? Like, you designed that sort of?
So all I did was I gave my my good friend Abram, his Instagram is Tangible Sky. I would love to unplug in.
Do it, dude.
I basically told him the minerals that I wanted in the pendant, and I gave him complete, like, free reign. All I told him was that I wanted the phoenakite to jut off out of the side,
so you could use it as a party trick.
Party trick, exact words I used. Yeah, for sure.
And now you get the word out. There's people like you. They want to know about it. Like, what? Then you get them interested, and they're like, "What the fuck?" Maybe they won't ever.
I think geology is like one of those like totally underrated fields of science that like I think having an understanding of like how our planet is formed and, you know, like how things like are. It's the foundation block, like building blocks of how everything is made. It starts with geology and you know, I don't know. Like, we only learned about the science behind tsunamis in 1984. We didn't know what caused a tsunami until 1984. Like, how weird is that? Like to know that we didn't know that it was just the result of an earthquake happening in the ocean. And that, holy shit, a huge amount of water drops down into that crevice that the earthquake causes. And then when it rebounds, it's going to send a 500-mile-an-hour wave at something all around the planet, dude. Yeah. Like I don't know. Like, and so I think it's amazing how new science is. But thankfully, it's... for the most part, subject to change, and you know, people are the open minded people are you know, allowing things to change and stuff. So.
Absolutely,
it's interesting. I hear that nuance a lot about like, we've only known about this for X amount of years. Think about that. Like, how, I don't know how often you hear that, but like, you hear it with cannabis, you hear it with what you're talking about, geology, mm-hmm. you hear it with the science, just the overall ocean. Science, man. Mm-hmm. Technology and humans, like from like 19, I would say early 1900s to now, have advanced like exponentially. Even if you take from 0 BC till now, or till 1950, with the advancements then versus this little chunk of 80 years or to 70, 80 years, it's like exponential.
Right.
Like,
what about the pyramids,
like,
bro?
They're thinking by like 2050, we'll be able to reverse DNA and like reverse aging, Benjamin Button us.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy what science is capable of. And we don't even know, you know, the expansion or how infinite science can be, because it's still fucking infinite. Okay.
What age would you want to be rewound back to? Like, if your body was like, it's going to be this age.
If I get to retain all my knowledge, send me back to like when, you know, pre-teens, man. Like, I'll fuck
pre-teens?
It up.
Pre-teens?
Hell yeah. I'll get that.
Just like let your body age all over again. I would just like keep getting rewound.
I don't want to go through puberty a second time.
Oh, that's fair.
Like, rewind me at like 25 or something.
Do you remind? Do you remember how much your voice cracked when you hit puberty?
Hey, man, my voice still cracks. Like, there's nothing I can do about that.
If you're still cool with it, then go
for
it.
No, my voice was very...
growing pains.
I feel like I'm pretty sure my voice was deeper then than it is now, because my family would like obsess over, oh my God, his voice is so deep. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I was a kid. I don't care about that type of shit. But like, I don't think my voice has like, since I was pretty like pre-teeny till now, has changed much. Yeah, I mean, I did have a lot of voice cracking, I'm sure, when I was like 14, 15.
Get that
maybe I'd hit like 21, so that way I could still legally smoke weed. I'd reverse back to 21.
Well, your mind, I feel like, would already be done. Like,
what, do you think you're going to have a mind ID? Be like, oh, I'm actually 120, not 14. What the fuck? Yeah.
Date of birth, bro. You'd be like, date of birth, 1992 for me. That ain't changing. They'd be like, well, you look like this. I'd be like, yeah, I have enough money. I went and got rewound, dog. Like, I'm just this age all the time.
Yeah. That's like, what was that other movie, Jack, with Robin Williams, too? Where
he was
an old man, like, as a kid.
Yeah.
And he would, buy, like, nudie mags for his... Because he was, like, Robin Williams' age.
Yeah. Dude, that's good. Or then, man, I love movies like that, too, that play on that, like, age... like being stuck either way.
Oh, Tom Hanks did it too. Big, right?
Yeah.
I think, but I don't remember like the huge story.
Me neither. I remember that it's happened multiple times.
Michael Jackson did it in real life.
Oof.
Today. Hey, man, he didn't have a childhood. I don't blame him.
Yeah, R.I.P. Michael Jackson. Don't come get us.
Don't come haunting him.
Is there any, like, technology that you want to, like, see, like, at least, like, start to happen before you die?
All the technology that they promised us by now. Yeah. Like, where the fuck are my flying cars, bro?
I don't know about flying cars, man. People can't already drive flat on the ground.
They drive themselves.
If they become automated, like Tesla flying cars, like where it's like a structured, you know, like humans are not going to be responsible for where these are going, you know, like then I would be open to that.
I think the only humans that would be allowed to do such a thing would be like as an emergency measure, and they would you'd have to get some like master certification, right? Like you have to go to school for a while to be
somebody's
like,
gotta I can still pilot know how this to drive. Thing. Like Will Smith.
Yeah.
I am legend, you know? Like I see a scenario like that. I want to be able to see Earth from like a you know, like a tourist space shuttle. You know, like or
from the moon, dude.
If I can do anything
commercial
like,
flights to the moon.
Could you imagine like how insignificant people would see their like the rich would see, you know, like their possessions, like if they like saw the Earth from space, like I think it would be good for a lot of people.
You think you have all this and it's like nah dog, you have
You have something that is like a human construct, you know, like and it's not it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
look around you.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't see your things from space. You just see the one big thing. Or you could see your country maybe. But that's about it.
Maybe.
Or you could see, you know, like magnetic fields like reflecting off of the atmosphere, creating the northern lights or whatever causes that, you know, whatever science behind that. I'm too hard to imagine. But
some weird shit, some energy's happening.
Yeah. I just imagine it would be wild. AF for sure. So
I love how off the rails from cannabis we've gone, but here we are.
Dude,
I love it. I love conversation. Classic smoke conversation.
Smoking with Miles, dude.
Hell yeah.
So great.
Dude, Miles. Oh, are we about to hit this blunt?
I think so.
We're doing a blunt,
dude. Oh, that's mochi gelato.
Mochi gelato. So
looking like a Ben and Jerry's joint.
I really love, So I was going to say, the one thing I love about this company is all of their branding, man. I'm so glad a company's doing that and getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I'm like, how?
Because it's Brian and Jay's, man, not Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, but okay, but they also have they do the same thing for their Skittles, and it's like Skittles, but on a Skittles packaging. And dude, that's candy wrapper. They're it's specifically prohibited
for sure.
So I am just like, hooray to their legal team.
Yeah,
because they found some loophole, and they're exploiting the fuck out of it.
Yeah,
and nobody else is. Like the balls on these guys, I love it.
I like having Alex work with us, man, because, like, I don't know if you knew, but he used to work for Hella Loud.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
Alex
don't know.
Alex is cool.
He's cool as hell, dude. I feed off of his energy, like, so hard. But, like, but having someone that has worked, like, in the, you know, the actual, I don't know if his job was, like packaging or what. Bless you. Yeah, he just has like all these. He said that this is the strain that apparently they're like really proud of, and they put like more effort into this one than like any of the other ones. So
I love that.
That's cool.
That makes me happy. I like smoking like that farm's like this is that strain.
Mm-hmm.
This is our thing.
This is Hella Loud. For. This is who the company. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Dude, what is do you have a favorite strain?
So that's for me an interesting question, just because, like I said, I'm still pretty new into the whole cannabis industry, and
holy shit, like on the inhale,
it's really
taste
nice.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa,
yeah.
Okay, I'm down. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. For sure. I guess my favorite so far is the words I want to use, because. Like
you're still discovering stuff,
right?
Every day, right?
I'm still at the tip of the iceberg.
There's always a new strain,
right? Exactly. And
we're
gonna
cross GMO with something else.
I want to say GMO is probably my favorite so far, but like, there's been a few like company, you know, strain specific ones that I've had, you know, working in the industry so far that like, you know, anything from 50-fold. Like, 50-fold is what got me hooked on the Purple Punch strain. Like, I really like Purple Punch.
Yeah.
So I can say, like, for sure that my body, I've kind of began to learn, like, what my body likes. And even though I'm not super knowledgeable on, like, the specific terpene names and stuff, I definitely know that I... like, it doesn't have to be a purple, like, it doesn't have to be physically purple, but any strain that has, like, purple in the name, like whether it's GDP or Purple Urkel or Grape Ape or, you know, anything that's, like, purple in the name, like, my body just reacts really well. So I guess that's, like, myrcene. I'm not sure if I'm saying that one right. Myrcene.
Yeah, I'm sure, well, debatable.
Those typically, yeah, those test higher in myrcene for sure, but I think that's, like, also, like, a regional thing, like a genetics thing. So you're, like, talking about a very specific region in Afghanistan by, like, the Hindu Kush Mountains that this, like, purple can derive its origins from.
Okay. Also, that so was heavy. That's indicus. Our second indirect 50-fold plug.
Yeah.
That we've had last episode, Josh was talking about them, so that's funny that you brought them up.
That is funny. Yeah,
that's cool. They must be doing some really good work over there.
They're doing a really good job. I feel like they're definitely, like, a bar setter for a top shelf company. Like, I don't know if I would say that they're the best, but when I think about top shelf, I compare them to 50.
Every strain of theirs is just gorgeous, like, on looks
dude,
amazing.
View window, like, the jar is oriented to be upside down, right? Like,
for sure.
Their text is
like, they know what the fuck is up, right? Like, who's the other company? Blue Roots, don't they do that too? They like have the flip jar. Like, when you do that, that's big dick energy, right? Like, you're like, my bud looks
so tailoring
good
it
that you're going to look at this shit, and I don't care about light damage because it's not going to be in your store for long enough for that to even happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was one of the things that my company, they were looking at, like, ounce-sized jars, but the top of the lid was clear. As well, like, everything was see-through, and I was like, I don't
know
if we need
that.
What's that?
Lucky Devil does that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's just too much opportunity to kind of fuck your butt up.
I feel like that's big dick energy.
It is like extra big. Like,
it's just gonna sell, bro. Like, I'm gonna put this shit out there, and it's gonna sell out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you're hoping for when you do shit like that. Like, I want people to see it, so they buy it, and it's gonna be in your shop for, like, a week or two before you're asking for more, anyways.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus something that's gonna go out, sit. Weight, and then you're having all types of returns and light damage problem.
And that's kind of what it was with, like, Blue Roots. It's like, when I sold that, the only time we would really sell a lot of it is when we had a huge 30% off sale or something like that on it, and the rest of the time, like, we'd be swapping out the jars because they were bleached, because they would just sit there. You know, they do have that big viewing window, but they also have a pretty extensive lineup, like, kind of like how From the Soil and Magic Time, they just have so many strains. And if you keep all of those on your shelf, right, you have too many varieties, you're not going to sell out of all of it. You're maybe one or two really good hitters.
I feel like that goes back, like, that's almost like a buyer's problem, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been under the opinion that, you know, you have to know or understand your demographic well enough to know, okay, I'm going to carry these strains when they're available, all the time, when they're available from this company, right? Like, I know that this company grows really good this, and as long as they have it, I'm going to get those through. But then I'm going to start flipping through the rest of this stuff. But also understanding shelf space, and, like, I'm not going to carry their whole lineup because then those sales are just getting split between this one, you know, this choice. Then you have those problems. Whereas if, you know, they would have carried the best three and then, like, one or two other ones out of the lineup and then always rotated those one or two out, you'd be fine. And there'd be new shit all the time. They'd always think there's something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this blunt, dude.
It's so good. It's and nice. It, like, has the potential on, like, a joint to just kind of stay lit if you're sitting here having a conversation with it, kind of camping it unintentionally
because
you're trying to get your thought out. You can camp it and then come to it, and then it's still lit.
It's still there, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's...
So, one of my
I will be purchasing.
One of my first favorite strains when I got out was Gorilla Glue, and I know that's Gorilla Glue, and so, like, but the reason why is kind of funny, and it's because, like, I matched with a girl on Tinder when like one of the first girls that I matched with, like when I moved back to Western Washington, because I drove back over here from Virginia in 2016.
Wow, that's awful.
It was a it was a long 4 days.
Good for job, sure. Yeah. Dude.
And
proud of you.
So I never saw this girl get out of her car, and she ended up being like my plug for like the strongest homegrown Gorilla Glue that like to this day. I don't know if it was either just the strongest shit I've ever smoked, or I was just like, it was like new stoner, low tolerance thing.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot too.
Or so, even like she had the ability as a home grower to finish that crop out, that finish that, mm-hmm. you know, flower. Whereas like here in the rec market, there's kind of a deadline or a precedent of a deadline to pump that. And if you have to cut it early, cut it early.
Mm-hmm.
So that could also be potential. You know, she's taking more care. You know, she might have way less plants. I'm sure she had way less plants than
I think she was living with her grandfather, and I think it was his grow card that they were growing under. And but she was selling me quarters for like probably $45 or something. Fuck, and it was like, damn. And it was just like, and just so I never saw her got out of her car. Like we always like met, like, you know, we only lived like 10 minutes away from each other. So it was like, hey, can I get this? And like, and so that's why Gorilla Glue was like the one that stuck with me in my head, because like I never found anything like as like good that. As that.
So and, that would be like the Great White Buffalo?
Well, so definitely not. And I haven't smoked any Gorilla Glue. Like, well, I guess like if I could find that one, I guess. But like,
right, no, it's but just that's like the one that got away, right?
That is like the, that. I guess the one that got away. Yeah. Cause like I'm not buying. Yeah. So I guess, yeah.
Not
it could be one of them. You don't have to have just one. I have like a handful of Great White Buffaloes.
Yeah, for sure.
What would you say?
Well, so that's like the, I guess that would be the only example for me, because I guess because of the fact that I'm still like so new into it, like I'm still learning. Like I just recently realized that like GMO has probably been like my favorite strain that I've found since starting in the cannabis industry. You know, GMO is what ChemDog and Girl Scout cookies, right? So like I've never tried ChemDog by itself. Like I've never smoked a good ChemDog flower. I don't know if I've ever had it by itself.
So we have some that's actually drying right now. So next time,
oh wow,
you come here, we're gonna smoke some ChemDog.
Interesting. Ooh, curious. Great. The plot thickens. Yeah, right. So
he's like, in fact, it was the ChemDog that I loved the whole time.
So that'd like, there's still, I'm still looking for other, you know, Great White Buffaloes.
Yeah, that
are still evading, like
on the hunt,
hiding themselves from me, I think, you know. Yeah. So that's where I would consider myself. So,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
What about you, Garrett? What's your Great White Buffalo, dude?
It's strange because it still exists, but I think it's on the same level plane as his Gorilla Glue. It was the phenotype or whoever grew it. It was the Durban Poison.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the company was, but it was definitely the rec market stuff. And dude, that stuff, it's just such an incredible high. And still to this day, Durban, in the top shelf variety have the potential to be there, but like, it's nothing like the first time, you know, that first time I had Durban Poison, it was just like, dude, it was the clear headed high, but I knew I was high and I could get, I had the motivation to get shit done. Like, a lot of times I just want to chill, man. Like, and I don't get me wrong, I love that, but like when I have stuff to do and I need a weed that's not gonna, you know, give me anxiety or kind of give me that raciness of a sativa, where you have this land race or used to be land race sativa Durban Poison, it's cool. It gives me focus. I just have no jittery, just more energy to go do something and accomplish your goals. It gives you more thoughtfulness. I don't know. And it's one of those that I didn't even know this when I was smoking it and craving it. It's one of the ones that's high, that tests higher in THCV, which is actually a appetite kind of suppressant cannabinoid that's available in varieties of cannabis. But that one's can test or has the potential to test higher in those aspects or that aspect. And that's cool because like I have the tendency to get high and eat. Like all the time, man. And so if I could have a strain that has me do all these things and I can accomplish my day without gorging myself or sitting down and just becoming this lazy piece of crap. Mm-hmm.
THCV does something else with your gut too, I forget. But yeah, it's just altogether good for like weight loss and like digestion problems.
Yeah. No, man, that and Durban poison, some people get it right.
Yeah.
But so what about you, man?
Me? Ooh, man.
So go off.
Definitely this Tutankhamun. It was like back medical days in Washington. That sounds cool. Yeah. Hell probably like 2000.
Anoxanamun.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It was like on that shit. It was like that. We got it from the medical dispensary back in the day. Me and my homegirl, Nikki, she had her card, so sent her in, and I was like, just get, you know. We'd get like grams of like 3 or 4 or 5 different strains and just try them, right? Like, I was like, fuck it, dude. Like, I have the option to try all these different types of weed side by side. I'm doing it. Like, I didn't want to just get the ounce of this or whatever. I was like, nah, dude, fucking, if I'm getting an ounce, it's like an ounce of everything. Like, I want a gram or half a gram of it all. Mm-hmm. And so we did it this time, and one of the grams we got with this Tutankhamun, and back in the day, I don't know how they did the testing, but I didn't see percentages that were very high. They're always like in the teens for the most part. Like, most weeds we smoked are like 16, 17, 19%. It'd be like really fire, like 21, 22%. This weed from this same place that we go to that would give us these same kind of numbers was testing at 30%, and I was like looking at it, the little scribbles that they did on the thing, and I was like, 30 fucking percent, man, what the fuck. Pulled it out. It's the only weed in my life, I feel like, that I've ever had that, like, resin sticky, where, like, when you break it in, it's, like, gooey, right? Like, it's, like, yeah, like, that, it's stuck to my fingers, like, I tried to let go of it.
Where, like, as soon as you break it open, it's, like, sticking to your,
it's, like, sticking to everything. So, like, stuck to me, and then I stuck it to, the car window. And then, like, let go, and it stuck. It, like, stuck to the fucking car window. And I was like, no fucking way, dude. We have to smoke this, like, right now. And that was a destroyer. I never got so high off the one blunt ever. I mean, it was a blunt between me and one other person. And this, like, supposedly then, even if it wasn't a true 30%, it was fucking strong. You could see that there's a lot of trichomes, like, but dude, yeah, never have I ever, number one, experienced a King Tut strain or a Tutankhamun strain that was tasted like that, felt like that, anything, and then I also haven't seen that strain very popularized ever since it came online.
Like a true great Washington. White buffalo.
Yeah.
It's like, it really just doesn't exist.
Like, yeah, at least not like that. Like a one and done for me. But yeah, it was epic.
I just think it's cool to, like, not, if you live in a legal state, you can take the time to, like, you don't have to be a percent chaser, you know, like, you, if you're willing to find the stuff that you, like, be aware of what your body, like, just listen to your body, and, like, absolutely, this, if you find a strain that you like, then there's a good chance today that it's a hybrid, right?
Right.
So, like, if it has parents that you haven't tried, well, maybe, like, and that's what I'm trying to tell myself. This is the same exact thing. Like, if it has parents that you like, then fucking try those too. Because, like, Mimosa is the most recent sativa that I had never tried. I bought some Mimosa from Legacy Organics. And man, that shit was really good. The reason I tried it was because I was like, I hear rappers rapping about Mimosa.
And that Purple Okay, Punch.
So Purple Punch, and what is it? Clementine, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, what did I say earlier in this podcast? Purple Punch is one of my favorite indicas because it's Larry and GDP. So it's like, that's that side. Okay, what is, and so I was like, I don't know what Clementine is. I've never tried Clementine. Oh my god, it's tangy, and lemon skunk. I love lemon skunk.
Yeah,
I've had it from the High Road.
Yeah, it's like my favorite strain, such a good sativa. Yeah,
and so I was like, that explains why I fuck with this strain, this Mimosa, so hard. And now I know, like, check that box. Mimosa is a good sativa for me. Yeah, you know, like,
because it has all the things I want.
I just expanded a little bit, you know what I mean? And like, I just, I don't know, man. It's,
that's how you get deep into it, dude. You're like, so you cool, start chasing your favorite strains. Yeah, like, me getting into skunk and then eventually like going all the way back to land races and discovering, oh wow, like I like when
where we came from
these land races cross together, like in some kind of capacity.
Don't forget your roots.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what? You know what interests me so much about you is you're pretty new ish, you say, to the market, 5 years, right? But you know so much about genetics that some people like just they don't even care. And I love that.
It's
because genetics are like something that I love too. And if people can look at like GMO and they don't really know, they know it's cookies because they see GMO cookies and they're like, oh, it's Girl Scout cookies. Like they don't take the time to think about things that you think about. And right. I think that's awesome. And that's,
thank you. Yeah.
I'm glad that you do that. And that you can hopefully, I think you're spreading that knowledge on to the consumer or your coworkers. And
it's, to me, it's not even like, it's not even, I'm not making it really difficult for myself either. You know, it's like I know people that keep smoking journals. How many people do you know that, like, I definitely don't do this, and I don't know how many people do, but I definitely don't write down every detail about an experience that I have with any given strain. I'm way too lazy for that.
And it's so variable with different phenotypes and the polyhybridization
everywhere.
All I do is I try something I haven't tried before, and it's a yes or no. Do I like it? Yes or no. If you know, and then like you all it is a bunch of like 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. That's all it is to me. Like and admittedly, like as a bud tender, I should be like looking more into like terpene profiles and like, because that's kind of where my knowledge like kind of takes a halt, because admittedly, like, I have other things in my life, like school and shit, you know. So
I'm excited for you.
Can't talk about weed all the time, you know, like, and
think about it though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And smoke all the time.
So
let's get into that part, because the interesting part about the terpenes, like, that you'll come down this path, is that those specific terpenes are actually like what's dictating those effects and those highs.
Right.
So those are actually like those profiles, like how they are in their ratios and percentages, are what your body likes, because it's hitting these, like, checking these boxes for you, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Then you're like, oh wow, if I find stuff that's got these specific terpenes, I know I'm gonna like it. And then you're like, well, why do these terpenes exist? Like, why do they occur? What makes them occur? Why does it happen in this strain and in this strain? And you learn that, like, terpenes are a plant's defense mechanisms to stressors in its area. So when you trace stuff all the way back to its land race origins, you're like, okay, well, what are the stressors for those plants in that region? And it's like, is it got high humidity, so it's dealing with a bunch of mold and microbes? Or does it have a lot of bugs in the area? Or, like, all these things, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, this region is hella high humidity, so all these strains that come out of here have a lot of limonene in them. They choose, like, straight-up lemons because it's got to, because it's got to fight these microbes so it doesn't bud rot and die. And, like, only the strong survive, right? Like, it's fucking nature and science and shit.
Totally.
That's the kind of caveat, though, to, like, all this polyhybridization of strains, and we kind of talked about this last podcast, but the genetic variability in polyhybrids. Now, see, like, if you like mimosa and you say you like mimosa from X company, if you had, say, another company's mimosa that is a different phenotype and that maybe leans a little more towards the clementine, and it wigs you out, right? But you were thinking, you were going into it thinking that this mimosa was going to be your last mimosa.
Right.
Like when you break up with a girlfriend and say, this one's going to be better. And she ends up just as crazy. or, you know, just be kind of cautious about that. And something to consider as well is, like, just because mimosa from X company is great and works for you doesn't mean that Z company.
Everybody's growing conditions vary a slight bit.
Yeah, or if they popped it from seed, you know, it's going to be infinitely different.
I
mean, the expression, it could grow completely different. It could smell more like the cereal, that milky cereal that I get from Purple Punch, rather than the citrus that you'd get from clementine. So I mean, when you start getting to, like, your Purple Hindu Kush or your Durban Poisons or stuff like that, Chem Dog, which it's a clone only strain,
Acapulco Gold,
those are gonna be pretty consistent,
right?
Because they're like the roots, like you were talking, like, go back to your roots, it's gonna be pretty consistent and stable. Sure. But once you start hybridizing everything, you get expressions from this whole lineage and then this whole lineage, which are the parents' lineage.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting topic to dive deep on. We won't too much, but I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. But
for sure.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. No, word totally. Of caution to just like kind of going into it with the mentality of X strain works for me.
Right.
If it's a polyhybrid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Lemon Skunk, I think, is one that's pretty consistent, and you're mm-hmm. going to have pretty consistent stuff throughout. Just because it's an older strain, they tend to
right.
stick with what they, what's longer, great. Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. there's a reason people are still yeah. growing the Lemon Skunk.
Yeah. Train right. wreck, Dutch tree.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. But, Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genetics are, weed genetics are crazy. But yeah, we talked about this last podcast when we got really high and talked about it.
yeah.
always kind of circle back there. We're weed nerds.
No, I'm excited for like once I'm done with like school and everything. Because I actually ended up switching to a psychology major because math was like not my jam.
Yeah. And especially so, science math, dude.
Dude, I was, yeah.
Science math? What do
you mean? You have to be good at math to be in pretty much any science major. Like yeah. to get a bachelor of science, like a BS has like it's math intensive. Like regardless of which way. I tried to pull off like a scenario in which case I would have the least amount of math requirement as possible and still be able to do something that was related to geology. And I could not, I was failing the remedial classes so that I could get on like the baseline mm-hmm. level. The remedial classes are an extra $500 a quarter because they're not in high demand. There's not a lot of people that are trying to, you know, remediate from high school, or, you know, I never took the SATs, and so I had to take a placement exam, and like so obviously not taking those until I was 26 like or 27 like made it much harder for me to like when I was already terrible at math like right. 10 years ago. And that's interesting because, you know, it's like I went into the college thing like because I was a very poor high school student. Like I did not care about my grades. That was about the only thing I got in trouble with my parents was my school, like, and stuff. And so, like, you know, a decade later, going back into it, I was, like, ready to prove that part of me, like, wrong. You know, yeah. like, that's not me anymore. Like, my work ethic is completely different, and it is, you know, like, but, like, the math, my brain just wasn't able to, like, compute. Like, I can do short-term stuff, but, like, once you add any letters, like, don't ask me. You know, like I'm not part of right, that conversation yeah. at that point. Yeah. so yeah.
Those are two subjects in my brain and yeah, you and, know, you smashed them.
Right. Together, and yeah. as much as I loved like learning and understanding like how the world works and like with geology and everything that entailed, it just wasn't like what my strengths played into. Right. I feel like you can handle like a good set of challenges. Like if you have one foot in, you can have a foot in familiar and unfamiliar territory, but like if you they're both in unfamiliar territory, like if you're not giving yourself like any sense of confidence in where you're at, like with what you know and understand, like then you're just going, your life is going to be chaos. And so once I like realized that, I was like, this is not playing to my strengths. Like, and I went with psychology because I was like, I'm a good communicator. I have a sense of like understanding, like empathy, and I understand people and I can sense like emotion in people and stuff like that and that kind of thing. And so I, when it's all yeah. said and done, even though like, granted, like I didn't even know what my job was going to be, you know, like with that degree, I was kind of leaning in a direction to maybe do like school psychology so that I could, my initial plan was to maybe, identify, red flags in children that have learning disabilities, like before they're diagnosed so that they could like find it early and yeah. you know put them on a path to success, like, you know,
being
so,
able to like help them
able to understand yeah. whatever they have and that sort of thing.
Cool. Are you in school now?
Yeah, so I'm now an online student with CWU right. like since the pandemic. I mm-hmm. and honestly, like over in Kittitas County, they've been having a pandemic like flare up pretty much like their numbers have been shooting up like
crazy,
pretty consistently, and I'm so glad I'm not over there now, because like they just, I don't
people
know.
Out there dying.
They have their largest demographics are 18 to 25 year old and senior citizens, and so you have half of the demographic major
not giving a fuck
and spreading the shit around, and then you have the other half who are like suffering dying. It and dying off because
that's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. Yeah, so I'm glad I'm not there anymore, but
so
but honestly, like, since I found the cannabis industry, like, my kind of perspective on like how, like, I don't really care. I care about school enough to finish it and get my degree, but honestly, once I get my degree, I'm just going to put all of my effort into my job, because this is where I'm at and I love what I do. And
psychology can be translated into anything.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, and understanding and how people think and why they do what they do, and that, like, that's very important in anything you do, especially because any business is still human based, right? At this point in time.
Absolutely.
Like, even if you, even companies that specialize in tech are still human based, like, they have employees.
You still have to have social skills and be able to communicate with people and work together
help understand.
I think in psychology
and marketing as well.
I think in moving forward in the cannabis industry will become sort of part of it.
Yeah.
I think there will be like some sort of base.
I think there's, there's
that'll play into, not quite sure yet, but I'm just kind of thinking, when we're thinking cannabis, we're thinking, you know, mental change of state.
Right.
And that's part of psychology. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, I mean, it's going to be a beneficial trade-off that
being able to incorporate that for treatment for people like at a younger age, like, is much healthier than any sort of antidepressant or medication.
If it works for them,
it's
going to
be like,
if you could have the opportunity and that's going to work for them,
100%
should be incorporated,
checks the boxes,
should be
and they will go hand in hand, right? Like psychedelics, and I think weed will
we're
be
already
in the mental health
that
game
way.
We're already moving that way now, so here in like 10-15 years I feel like that'll just be the norm, like, hey, what can we do naturally
for sure
that is going to align with your body a little easier, be taken by your body a little easier, that you can, you know, remedy the situation without having these 6 or 7 adverse effects.
And
I think one or two things.
I think that time frame is also generous too, like 10 to 15 years. That's what it's going to take to make it more normalized and make people more comfortable and open to it. And also to let studies come out and show us, you know, the facts, because people believe numbers and people believe, like, you know, like the data at the end of the day, you know? And so I think that when you can prove that, like, there is more chance for success off of natural remedy than what can be prescribed in a pill, it will be an acceptable thing. And so I'm looking forward to, I think it's so cool that we are alive and adults, like
during
that,
this time.
Like, we're the age that we are during this time in history where, like, we're
not too early, not too late.
Witnessing like the quick and fast everything is extrapolating and advancing.
It's so cool.
Elon Musk said that he wants to send, like, he's planning on sending people to Mars in 2026.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's
fuck yeah,
wild, you know?
Yeah,
like,
dude. That's going to be the shit that we watch on TV, right?
Yeah, man. Like, Space Force.
Yeah.
Space Force. Do you ever consider growing weed, Miles?
So I wish that I could ever, like, I would love to ever be in a scenario where I could actually grow. I hate to admit that I know nothing about growing weed.
Don't hate to admit that.
I mean,
been
like,
in the
it's
Navy,
just,
man. Like,
right. I try and understand my circumstances and be like, I've never
you're right where you
had access
to.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. So, but I would love to, and I'm very interested.
What's stopping you right now? Just the knowledge,
just the
space.
The space and living situation. Like, I live in a studio apartment, you know, and my landlady, like, lives in the same building, and I'm not over at my place, you know, activating any key for anything, like, in my oven or whatever, because it's just too. I gotta be worried. I worry about the smell and stuff like that, but. If I ever like end up being in a place where I could grow, because it wouldn't be difficult for me to get a, you know, a grow card, like through the VA or something like that, you know.
Oh yeah.
And
will
so
they, will they support that? Does the VA allow that?
Absolutely.
And prescribe that?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, inside the legal states, there's no like official programs or anything that I know of, but for veterans to get grow cards is like super easy.
Yeah, I just wonder because the VA is usually really on not very good at helping veterans.
That does seem to be the trend, that like the VA has kind of a reputation of not being very punctual in their response to people, like with whatever application. That it could be for a house loan, and they still suck for those too.
You could obtain a card pretty easily then, pretty quickly?
I believe I could, actually. It's just kind of one of those like time and place kind of things. Like, I just moved into, because moving back to this part of the state was kind of like a clean slate for me, in a sense that like I haven't had a normal, like, up until I got a job at Danks, this is my first normal job in, you know, almost 4 years. Kind of getting into a place where I can, like, actually settle down and have some fun with stuff like that. Like, I want to be, and I also just want to get school out of the way so that anything that's not school related, like, then I'll be able to just give so much more energy and focus to.
You don't have kids or anything, do you?
Nope, no kids, not married. Like, I'm just, like, nice. doing my own thing, man. Like, yep. I'm just,
no,
you know,
madding around, doing whatever you
want
to do.
Yeah, just doing, nothing holding. That's awesome. Exactly. That's why, you know, it's like, if opportunity, like Washington is my home in the sense that I've lived here the longest. Mm-hmm. But like my dad was military, you know, for 20 years. And so like I've never been in one state longer than 5 years before moving to a different one, you know, up until now. Like, and so like, I don't know. I'm very open-minded to the prospect of, you know, like moving elsewhere for work. I know that like Danks is like definitely an expanding company.
Elsewhere, dude.
You know, and so the opportunity is definitely there. I just, I'm very excited for.
If you ever decide to get into growing, man, you have a resource here with Josh and I.
Absolutely, man. And that's the thing is like, I have friends that live in illegal states. That have some really impressive little closet grows, and honestly, man, it's like, yeah, I have access to a lot of good weed, but like I don't know anything about the gratification of smoking something that you grew from a seed.
It gets
and
you
have
way higher.
I cannot imagine, like, yeah, just the fact that you grew it must be
higher.
So at least,
yeah, it's like when you slap a sticker on a car, but like, dude, this is like the product you put that sticker on, you got that extra 10 horsepower, you know? But no, it's so gratifying for sure. Even if it's like not great weed, you still are proud of that weed.
Oh yeah,
the first
I can't
time
imagine.
The first I time imagine. I ever smoked my own weed, though, I was so scared because I was like, "What chemicals are in this weed?" Because I was growing DWC, which is like in salts and water and stuff like that, and just letting the roots sit in there with a little bubbler. But I was like, "Dude, what chemicals are in this bud?" I was so scared. Like, what? How does this even work?
Right.
And I followed whatever guide online, and I got high.
Yeah,
I'm not dead.
Right.
So
for sure.
Yeah, no, it's such a cool experience.
Yeah, because the thought of, you know, it's like, I'm not looking for a career that, like, I'm not driven by money, you know. I feel like it's pretty easy to say, like, that's why it was so simple for me to walk away from construction. Like, I was a year one apprentice in a union, so I had, like, an amazing healthcare plan, and I was making $23 an hour, like, as a year one apprentice. Like, I would have been making, I would have been a qualified journeyman, making $50+ an hour, like, at the age of 30. I would have been actually qualified by now, like, if I stayed, like, and, you know, that's cool to think about, but I'm not driven by money, like, and I'm sure that I'm way happier working in cannabis than I would have ever been if I stayed in construction, because I saw the stress.
I think
that,
it suits your
the
personality.
The stress on your body gets tore up.
Yeah, the body, the physical and just, like, emotional stress, I think, is just, like, not who I am, like, you know, and so if I could ever get to a point where I could, like, grow my own, like, and sustain my own weed, you know, like, Hopefully it's in a legal state, you know, like I don't want it to be in an illegal.
You
want to
feel
state.
Comfortable growing, right?
Exactly. You want to have that peace of mind that like you're doing something you're allowed
see
to be
a
doing.
A cop go down the road, you're like, "Fuck, man, you're here for me." Yeah,
exactly.
No, paranoia is not.
Mm-hmm. Not so
hit the self-destruct button.